From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. With the action coming thick and fast, we take a clever and considered look at the FPL state of play, from Pep's City of Stars to Arsenal looking burnt out just like their keeper, as we count down to game week 31 plus. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Wow, here we are, back underway. FPL is humming, points rolling in, particularly for our three guests today. Let's meet them. Sam Parkin, hello, Sam.
Hi, James.
All right, then. You don't sound very excited about game week 30 plus, Sam.
It's very nice to be in the company of the two Fantasy League managers who are tussling at the top of the table.
You mentioned two managers are tussling away at the top of the table, not just our mini league, but up there among the finest in the world. I'm talking about second in our mini league, Sam Bonfield. Hello, Sam.
Hi, James.
And first place in our mini league and currently ranked 1,325th in the world, Jack Lang. Jack.
Oh, it sounds good when you say it, James. It really does.
Woof. Thanks for slumming it today, guys, with us. This is going to be slightly delicate. There's only 12 points, I think, between you, Jack and Sam. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the legal definition of industrial espionage is, but this show, I think, might come back to haunt me.
Right, because we're going to ask Jack what he's going to do, and Sam's there taking notes, and crikey. All right, well, before we move on to looking ahead to Game Week 31's pluses of fixtures, what were your conclusions from this opening weekend of the restart? Sam Parkin?
I think there's kind of some teams that you need to put to one side, really, and I think the teams with things to play for, the ones that are jostling around the European positions, your Manchester United, Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea, those are the teams that you need to pick your players from. I think that's my takeaway of the weekend, that there's going to be some dead rubbers and some teams that are probably going to fall away quite badly at the rear end of the table.
Interesting point. Although Man City, who, as things stand, don't have any kind of European concerns to play for, apart from getting themselves fit for the last day in August, are actually looking one of the finest teams right now. There was a bit of confusion and consternation for fantasy managers when Aguero was benched for their first game back. Of course, they still have one fixture to fulfil from game week 30. We're going ahead with the show today because game week 31 plus starts tomorrow, so there's no time to waste. But what's your thoughts on City as it stands, Jack Lang?
Well, I brought in extra City players just for this double game week, one of whom was Aguero. Sterling paid off a little bit more. And I'm in two minds, really. I was always planning to wildcard after this week anyway. So essentially using all of those free transfers before the restart as one wildcard, then my own as another. And I was planning to shift Aguero and Sterling back out, but City were very impressive. I'll definitely keep De Bruyne, obviously, but it's just that nasty balance that Guardiola always presents you with of massive potential for points and massive potential for tearing your hair out when you see the teams drop on Twitter. So, yeah, I'm going to see what happens tonight. And there's a good chance that I'll be changing my mind a couple of times between now and that deadline, I think.
Right. Definitely keeping De Bruyne. Did you get that, Sam? That's why he's 1,325th in the world. We're going to talk more in depth about Man City's clash with Chelsea, which is their game week 31 plus fixture. What about Arsenal, though, Sam Bonfield? You probably brought in a bunch of gunners, did you, because of the double game week? Are you going to be hastily shoving them out the door now?
Yeah, I mean, I brought in a couple. I had Leno in goal and Nketiah up top. I didn't really fancy spending all that money on Aubameyang, and actually that paid off in the end. I don't know. I mean, Nketiah looked quite good, I thought, for the couple of games, and he's cheap, so potentially he could stay. Obviously, the Leno injury means that he definitely has to go now, which is a little bit frustrating, because with Henderson as my other keeper, who cannot play in game week 31 plus, I now don't currently have a keeper, so that's got to be fixed.
But you're on a wild card anyway, so...
I am, yeah. But I think there'll be a lot of fantasy managers out there that had Leno and Henderson, with the idea being that Leno would be the keeper for 31 plus. And obviously that's gone out the window now.
Absolutely. How many of us are on wild cards? Jack, you're on a wild card.
I am, yep.
Sam Parkin, you played your wild card. You cleared that one out nice and early.
Yeah, looking at the points returns of some of the managers at the top end of the table having the luxury of playing the bench boost or the wild card. That's where I've missed out in the last game week.
Cheer up, Sam. Game week 31 is going to be better. 31 plus, I should call it, the official denomination of the upcoming set of fixtures, the deadline for which, by the way, is 5 p.m. on Tuesday, 5 p.m. UK time. So be aware of that. All right, well, game week 30 plus still has City Burnley to come, but with Tuesday's fixtures on the way, let's pick out where we think the points are coming in those. Right, game week 31 plus, Jack Lang, pick a fixture for us and tell us which players you're getting in.
I'm looking at Manchester United against Sheffield United. Obviously, Sheffield United have been a very reliable route to points this year, but the back line there, it's a ghost town, I think, coming into this week. Obviously, Dean Henderson can't play. John Egan is suspended. Probably Jack O'Connell is still going to be injured or at least struggling. So part of what has made them so reliable is the fact they don't change the side. Now they're going to have to do that in a big way. I really fancy Manchester United to kick on. I didn't think they were amazing against Spurs, but they seem to come into their own later in the game. I think their fitness levels look quite good. And obviously with the attacking options they have, Bruno Fernandes, I think most people will either have or be desperate for. But even Marcus Rashford, who I think was going to take that very dodgy penalty that United didn't get. Anthony Martial had a couple of shots. So these are all players that I'm thinking about doubling up on ahead of that fixture and hoping that Sheffield United will be a bit of a more of a mess than they usually are back there.
Well, they conceded 3 goals to Newcastle last weekend. So it's a different kind of Blades that we're dealing with here. You're going to shock us, though, by mentioning one other Man United player that you're considering bringing in.
Yeah, I'm flip-flopping around with David De Gea. I know he had a very Roy Keane pleasing moment in United's game against Spurs.
Jack, are you and confident that Roy Keane isn't a fantasy league manager? Because if he listens to this, he'll get you.
Well, it might be classic misdirection, Sam. Maybe Keno fancied a bit of De Gea in his team.
Well, I'm confused. Do you mean any of this?
Well, I do. I have actually been considering him. Yeah, obviously it was a horrible error.
Why?
Because they've got really great fixtures. They've got a lot of very solid home fixtures coming up. We'll talk about these, I'm sure, later. And before the break, United's defence was looking really a lot tighter. Obviously, you know, an individual error doesn't look good for De Gea, but the fact is United as a team restricted Spurs fairly well. And I'd be focusing more on the structure of the team rather than David De Gea's lettuce hands, and hoping he might be able to keep the
okay.
next one out.
So De Gea is an option. You definitely get Fernandes in if you don't already have him, and then maybe a Martial or a Rashford are solid options. Just on the subject of Sheffield United, is anybody going to hang on to any Sheffield United players apart from maybe Dean Henderson, who's benched this weekend anyway?
Well, I'll be keeping Henderson just because I've owned him since game week one and it's only one game week that he's going to miss. But I'm also think I'm going to hold on to Lundstrom. There's always attacking returns potential from him, even if you know, he doesn't necessarily get the start. For me, he's still cheap. He's still a nice asset to have. And I still kind of feel confident that when he comes onto the pitch, there's an opportunity for him to do something. So it doesn't so much bother me if he doesn't start.
OK. What about you, Sam Parkin?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too hasty at casting them all aside. I had Basham and Egan in for this fixture. I'll probably persevere with Basham. I just think, you know, they've had such an amazing season. They were in tremendous form before football was halted. I could see them, you know, picking up some results in the next few weeks and surprising a few people.
Fair enough. Sam Bonfield, where's your roving managerial eye taking you on the fixture list this week?
Up to Molineux. I really fancy Wolves to do really well over the next few weeks. Their run of fixtures is lovely, starting with this fixture in game week 31 plus against Bournemouth, who quite frankly looked awful in their first fixture in game week 30. Or 30 plus, as we should call it. Wolves, the assets there are just gifts to FPL that keep on giving. The likes of Jimenez and Doherty, both of which ended the last part of the season incredibly well, have come back in exactly the same kind of high and motivation. For me, Wolves have exactly what you want. They've got a really nice squad of players who play really well and understand each other because there's a lack of rotation that goes on there. They are fighting it out for Champions League football, and they're definitely in the mix to get that, particularly with Leicester dropping points at the weekend. So Jimenez and Doherty, absolutely essential in my fantasy team anyway. And then I think there's still room for another one of the Wolves' assets. Traoré looked fantastic when he came on. He is so fit, that guy. Like, his fitness levels are unbelievable. And at this point, where we've got so much or so many games coming so fast, we need players with good fitness levels. So for me, Traoré, yes, you have to be prepared that there's going to be some benchings every now and then, but he's still worth that money. From a Bournemouth point of view, well, they just didn't look very good. And I was hoping that we might see the Bournemouth of old, you know, the one that had a bit of fighting spirit about them. But with no Fraser, with King going off injured in that game against Crystal Palace at the weekend, I can't see where they're going to get points from. And I certainly can't see them getting anything against Wolves. So they're a hard avoid for me. And it's a fill your boots on Wolves.
Hard avoid the Cherries, fill your boots with Wolves, tick. All right, other Sam, Sam Parkin, what fixture are you picking out?
I'm going to go for Chelsea, Manchester City. You already touched on Aguero being left on the bench the other day. Strikes me as the type of player Aguero probably needs the minutes on the pitch rather than in training to get himself back up to speed. And considering we've had the break, I think he'll be in from the off against Chelsea. And he's got a brilliant record against Chelsea, 15 in 20 in all competitions going back to his Atletico Madrid days. He got a couple in European competition, 10 in 14 in the Premier League. So I expect him to start. That includes two hat-tricks, a recent one at the Etihad. So yeah, he'd be definitely someone I'd be looking at, obviously along with De Bruyne and Sterling, who was a glaring omission from my team last week. I should have put him in for one of the Liverpool guys, but wasn't brave enough because of the seasons those two chaps have had, Mane and Salah.
With all of these Man City picks, Sam, is it worth waiting for the Burnley game Monday night just to see what Pep does? Because whilst it's impossible to predict that man's decisions, it should inform them a little bit. If Aguero gets 90 tonight, maybe he's not going to be in action in the Chelsea game.
Yeah, quite possibly. You would think he'll go really strong against Chelsea. And I think with Frank Lampard's lineup yesterday, I think that was with an eye on the Manchester City game as well. Obviously, we're not privy to what's going on at the training ground, but there were some glaring omissions, I felt, from that team, considering the form they were in prior to football stopping. I'm talking about the likes of Gilmore, Barkley, James as well, the young lad. So I think all of those come back into contention. Of all the top sides, I think Chelsea are very difficult to predict going into the next few weeks.
So Pep taking on another manager who's even more unreliable in terms of picks than he is. Jack, is there anyone, or Sam Bonfield, is there anyone that you would say is a pretty reliable choice out of the Chelsea squad? Jack?
Chelsea's a tough one for me. I thought they played really well against Villa, and I thought they were good value for that win. Could have had a couple more, but I look at their team and there's really quite tough competition for a lot of places, especially in attacking areas. The defence isn't quite solid enough to interest me. Maybe, you know, you might consider a punt on Alonso, but there are other defenders who have a better attacking return this season. And then attack, I had Mason Mount for a long time earlier in the season, and I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a good fantasy asset because he's always shooting and crossing. But at the moment, I think there are too many good midfield options for it to be worth it. So I'll be probably giving them a swerve for the time being.
Okay. Sam Bonfield?
I think after this game against Manchester City, the fixtures look really nice for clean sheets from Chelsea. So I wouldn't be so quick to rule out people like Aspilicueta either. I think, you know, pretty much going to start every game. Not cheap, but probably worth the money when you think that they're playing, you know, West Ham, Watford, Palace and then Sheffield United, who between them don't score a lot of goals. So there's definitely clean sheets around for Chelsea coming up.
Right. And the amount of crosses he was putting in the Villa game suggests that he might be picking up points at the other end too.
For sure.
All right. Very nice. Up next, wall charts and spreadsheets at the ready because it's time for some proper planning with the long view. Long view. Who looks good? Who doesn't? We've got our FDR charts. If you haven't got one, fancy manager, download it from PremierLeague.com because it's great. Lovely colours on it. Super nice. You look at it, you can see immediately who's got great fixtures coming up. You've been staring at yours, Sam. You could probably recite it. Which team, Sam Bonfield, which team have attracted your attention, or which team?
Well, but of course it's Spurs for me at the moment. The hardest game that Spurs have coming up was the game that they played against Manchester United in game week 30+. After that, they now have a run against West Ham, Sheffield United, Everton, Bournemouth. So they're all looking lovely right up until the next North London derby against Arsenal. So absolutely they're scoping those games for goals from a Spurs point of view. And there is a wealth of mid-priced midfielders at Spurs, the likes of Lamella, who got the start in game week 30+, the likes of Moura, who was injured for 30+, but should be back for and available again soon. But for me, it's Steven Bergwijn that really catches my eye.
Right, and a lovely goal from him against Man United. But if Lucas Moura is coming back into the picture, does that in any way impinge on the likelihood of Bergwijn getting a start?
I don't think it will. And we should remember that, of course, Dele Alli was suspended for game week 30+, so he'll be due back in the side ahead of game week 31. I think, if anything, it's probably Lamella who drops back down to the bench. We saw a lot of kind of Lamella coming off the bench. That tends to be where he was used before the break. So I would expect that Bergwijn, who was starting every game when he first arrived at the club until his injury, and Dele Alli will be back in the team, and I would expect them to hold their places.
Jack Lang, which team do you think represents great value because of their games?
I am looking at Newcastle, not just because they were among the goals against Sheffield United, but at the other end, the potential for clean sheets and cheap clean sheets at that. So I think Dubravka is a solid pick in goal, but I'm mainly looking at the likes of Jamal Lascelles in defence, because the next three are a really tasty looking set of fixtures. Villa at home, Bournemouth away, West Ham at home, three of the worst attacks in the league. I would be surprised if there wasn't at least one clean sheet among that. Who knows, could be a hat trick. And I think they're just solid options, gives you money to spend elsewhere. And I think if you're being brave, Matt Ritchie might be half a shout because he's listed as a defender, bombs forward, scored a goal. He would be my slightly wild card pick this week if I was trying to catch someone. So maybe Sam can pick him.
Sam has some pretty interesting and left field ideas herself about Newcastle, don't you, Sam Bonfield?
Yeah, I do, actually. I really like Joel Linton up top for Newcastle. It's a bit out there because we hadn't necessarily seen the best of him since he arrived at Newcastle. But in the game at the weekend against Sheffield United, now, OK, it might be because Sheffield United were a bit depleted at the back when Egan got sent off, but he did have a really good game.
He scored two goals in how many days? Isn't
it? We'll forget about that.
That was
bit.
His first goal since August, anyway.
Yeah, forget that.
that game and goal was against Spurs, though, Sam. Did you see it in the flesh and it's lived with you ever since?
Sorry, I mean, this must be a wind-up to me, mustn't it? Like, this is mind games of the highest order. She's trying to properly do me here.
Are you going to bring him in now, Jack?
Oh, never say never, Sam. I've made some rash decisions in the past.
Well, I'm certainly going to have a look at your team after 5 o'clock on Tuesday, Sam. And all respect to you if you do go ahead and bring in Joe Ellington, because that would be bold, a maverick play. And maybe just the thing you need to catch Jack Lang at the top of our mini league. All right, well, that's the long view. Up next, let's take a look at the question we asked this week on social media and some of your answers to it. The question being, with one game week nearly complete, what's your biggest FPL takeaway after the restart? This week we asked you what your biggest FPL takeaways are after the first set of fixtures. FPL Bruce comes in and says, well, I had fish and chips last night, but I'm thinking of getting a Domino's. Top work, FPL Bruce. Wasn't actually that kind of takeaway we were after. More like this from FPL Stevo, who says, my takeaway is you don't need to spend big up top. The likes of Ings, Jimenez, Rashford, Calvert-Lewin, all looking good options. No need for Kane, Sam, Aubameyang and Aguero. Save your money for a big midfield. This is still the thinking then, is it? Spend the money in midfield. Sam Parkin.
Yeah, I think so. I've had the big hitters in the midfield for the majority of the season and seen the value in Jimenez. I've stretched a little bit to get Vardy in. I think that 100th goal is around the corner. I would back him to do that against Brighton in the next game week. So he's going to remain where he is. But certainly, I think you can save a little bit of cash at the top end. And get those nice points from De Bruyne and Salah and Mane, and they've produced all season.
Vardy rather than, say, Joe Ellington. Why is that?
I wasn't at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to see that glorious goal he scored in the summer. Right. And it's been a long time waiting for the one the other day. There's a few above him in the pecking order. Danny Ings, Tammy Abraham.
Okay.
Joe Linton somewhere below them.
Disappointing, Sam. It's disappointing.
Out of the names that FPL Stevo references there, Ings, Jimenez, Rashford, Calvert-Lewin, who would be your pick? One name, Jack?
I think probably Calvert-Lewin is the one I'm looking at. I had Ings, got rid of him this week, which was a big error, and I don't think I can bring myself to stump up again.
Southampton's fixture is not the best, but Calvert-Lewin, interesting. And Sam Bonfield, who would you have out of those value forwards?
Jimenez for me.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Khalifa Danleyman, who's got a whole bunch of takeaways. Rule number one, says Khalifa, always captain Kevin. Rule number two, get Bruno, because Man United will get penalties. That's what they do more than any other team, indeed. Rule number three, wing-backs are still the way to go for defenders, Azpilicueta, Chilwell, Trent, etc. Just on the subject of this, what happened with Liverpool? And is that something that people who've doubled up on Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold should be concerned about? Jack?
Don't think overly concerned if you've got the defenders still in your team. Obviously, a lot of people will have kept Alexander-Arnold because of the price rises over the season. I got rid of him just because I thought there was an opportunity to score big on double game week players. Didn't really pay off, and I'm a little bit annoyed at myself for that decision, to be honest. But I think defensively they looked reasonable against Everton, so I wouldn't be too concerned from that side of things. Obviously, there was a bit of rotation in attack as well. We've seen that Salah didn't start. I'll be watching very closely their next game, because Salah is, I think, someone who could make a real difference in the run-in. But obviously, you don't want to be picking a player and finding out he's only coming on for 20 minutes. So,
but on the subject of wing-backs, I mean, you've already mentioned Azpilicueta, Sam Bonfield. Which other ones do you think are particularly worth getting in at the moment?
I think Trent is still 100% worth having for me. I kind of disagree with Jack a little bit, and I'm glad to hear that Jack's got rid, because I've still got him, so that's going to give me an advantage. But I think in terms of other ones, it pains me to say it because I wouldn't normally recommend the Spurs defence, but actually maybe even the likes of Serge Aurier, you know, there's not always going to necessarily be clean sheets, but he was so attacking in that game against Manchester United that there might just be some attacking returns from him, and even from Ben Davis on the other side potentially.
All right, Serge Aurier has got loads of assists this season. So for all the other issues that there are with his game, there's potentially lots of points there. Sam Parkin, a wing back for you?
Oh, I think they've been mentioned already, but I think Matt Ritchie's a good shout. That said, I think that was his first double-digit game week of the season, so maybe it's a bit of a flash in the pan. Doherty is a must. He's obviously quite costly, but he's in ridiculous form at the moment. I think he's over 50 points in the last six game weeks, so nobody can match that. And with the fixtures that are upcoming and the joy they seem to be having down the right-hand side of the pitch, with or without Traore, I think he's worth every penny.
Well, we'll have some more of your picks next up as we turn to our essential differential section, looking for players with low ownership, but of course, high point potential. Essential differential, they need to have less than 10% ownership in the global FPL manager community, enabling us to reap big dividends from them while nobody else does, or very few people. Who we got earmarked? What niche selections can we make? Jack Lang.
Well, Sam mentioned kind of budget-ish options in the Spurs midfield, but I'm willing to spend a little bit more money for someone I think is a real premium player and still slightly underpriced, which is Son Heung-min. I think this is someone who can score up there with any player in the game, really. And while 9.7 isn't cheap, I think he could easily be an 11, 12 million player. He was good enough against United, I thought, for me to stay interested. Had a really good header saved and a couple of pot shots from outside the area. And yeah, for me, he's up there among the four or five best players in the game if he's fit and firing. And given Tottenham's fixtures, I think it's an opportunity you can't really miss. So he was the first name I transferred in this week.
Really? 9.7 million. It's surprising that he is actually a differential. Only 6.6% ownership. So very few people as yet have made that call. Sam Parkin, who are you earmarking for some special attention?
I think it's definitely worth considering Ismaila Sarr from Watford. Obviously not gone under the radar completely because he did wonderfully well against Liverpool before the break. But I like the look of their games. Burnley away, Southampton at home, then a tough one against Chelsea. But some nice home games where I think Watford will be relying they're going to get their points. 80 points from his 13 starts, I think, is pretty good going. 5 goals, 4 assists. And I just think he's a very fit lad, very quick on the counter-attack. And considering their other main threat is Troy Deeney, I think Troy may take a little bit of time to get up to speed, considering the break. I don't think I have any concerns with Saar. I see him as being the key, attacking-wise, to getting them safe away from relegation.
You also mentioned Armstrong of Southampton, who's owned by an astonishingly small 0.3% and looked great, of course, in game week 30+.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously scored a lot of goals for Celtic north of the border. It's taken him a little bit of time to become a regular, but I think he's got a couple of goals in recent game weeks, and he's hardly owned at all. And Southampton in brilliant form. They've got some tough games coming up after the next two. So you may consider him for the next fortnight or however long it takes these days to play a couple of fixtures in the Premier League.
Wise thinking there. What about you, Sam Bonfield?
Well, I seem to have gone all in on Newcastle everywhere today. So just to stick with the theme, I'm going to go for Saint-Maximin. Obviously did really well in game week 30, got 10 points, a goal, a couple of bonus points and kept the clean sheet and bonus there. Did exactly the same actually as he did just before the break in game week 29, same point score. So that's 2 in a row now, 10 point returns for him. He's coming up against an Aston Villa defence, which obviously, you know, was leaky against Chelsea at the weekend and was fortunate not to have conceded in the midweek game against Sheffield United when the keeper carried the ball over the line or didn't. So they've got them next, followed up by a trip to Bournemouth, who we've already discussed aren't looking great. So for me, Saint-Maximin, he's going to cost you 5.4 million. So he's relatively cheap, particularly if you're looking for a third striker position, and only owned by 0.9%.
So Saint-Maximin owned by the minimum. Very good. Alrighty. Well, in a second or two, after all those good ideas and suggestions, we're going to be looking at what you're actually going to do this weekend and also who gets to wear the captain's armband. All right, let's wrap up the show with our transfers that we're going to make and captains. Now, three of us are on a wild card, so we're probably going to make loads of moves before 5 o'clock on Tuesday. But pick one out. Jack, I know you said that the first player that you built your wild card team around was Son. Who was the second?
Matt Doherty, who I agree with the other two is, yeah, absolutely essential.
And then, got to have him in your team.
Yeah, and then I'll just see how Aguero does in the game against Burnley.
Makes sense. Sam Bonfield, what was the first name on your wildcard team sheet?
It was the two Man United boys after the game against Spurs. So I brought in Rashford and Fernandes.
Okay, nice. And Sam Parkin, you sadly will be making actual old-fashioned points per transfers. How many are you going to make and who are they going to be for?
I'm tempted with the free hit, just to give myself a little bit of excitement. But I might just stick with one change and get one of the Wolves chaps in this week just to make it three Wolves players. Probably Traore. Barnes and Grealish were in my midfield. Didn't do the business. I think I'm going to get Traore in there.
Right. He's an exciting player, isn't he? And who's going to get your captain's armband, Sam Parkin?
Oh, a toss-up between Vardy and Salah. Maybe just go for Vardy for sentimental reasons to get that goal.
Okay. Jack?
Son.
Son. And what about you, Ms. Bonville?
Oh, I'm so torn this week. I'm probably going to give it to Fernandes.
You're all wrong. The answer is Kevin De Bruyne every week. Always Kevin. Excellent. Deadline, everybody. We mentioned it before, but it is 5 o'clock on Tuesday. So factor that into your thinking. It's an unusual deadline to have. Maybe set an alarm or something. I know I will. And if you're after some more FPL content to prepare your teams, then head over to the Premier League's website, premierleague.com. Well, there's loads of information and scouting stuff. Brilliant. We've got another show coming up for you on Friday ahead of game week 33+. For now, though, it's many, many thanks to Sam Parkin.
Cheers, James.
To Sam Bonfield.
Thanks, James.
And to Jack Lang, 1,325th in the world. Where will he be next time we speak? That's the question. Anyway, that's it for today's show. We'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.